Praise the Lord. We appreciate Andrea's obedience tonight. It kind of that song kind of goes along with the message tonight. The title of the message tonight is Spiritual Attraction. Spiritual attraction. And we know there's a lot of things that attract us in life. We're attracted to things fleshly. Amen. Some of us like, some of us are thrill seekers, and we're attracted to the theme parks and the roller coasters and things. And some of us are attracted to the woods, and we like to hunt or fish or do things in the outdoors. And some of us are attracted to ball games, and we like to go and watch ball games. And there's a lot of different things that we're attracted to. And I've come to realize something in my life and in my walk with Christ is that when you're attracted to something, even though you're attracted to something, if you don't spend time doing it, that attraction kind of loses its savor a little bit. Amen. So if you're attracted to the outdoors, but you don't spend a whole lot of time in the outdoors, you start losing that enthusiasm. You start losing that that desire, that want to go out into the woods. And it's the same way spiritually. Yep. Amen. The Bible says that if I be lifted up, Christ said this in the Bible, I believe it's in John 12, somewhere around the 31, 32, somewhere around in there. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men nigh unto me. Draw. And that's an attraction. When something draws you, when something compels you, when something just has your full attention, when you're attracted to a person, they have your full attention. Amen? When me and Debbie first started dating, and I guess I'm not as...
Easy, brother.
I know. But when we first started dating, and I'm still attracted to her, but you know, I... I found every reason to be around her, and I still do. But at that time, we were apart. Amen? I'm going to try to dig myself out of this hole. But we were apart. I lived in Portland, and she lived in Shively. And I would do things that I wouldn't normally do just to spend time with her, just to see her. Some of you may know, I don't know how many people I've talked to about this, but when we were first dating and she lived out there, I would go to see her after work, and I would spend time with her, and I didn't want her to have to drag Kimberly out at night, every night, so I would take the bus from Shively to 18th and Broadway, not exactly the best place in the world. But I would get off the bus at 18th and Broadway, and I would walk from there to 27th and Portland. And that's a pretty good hike. Amen? But it was an attraction. There was a drawing there. I wanted to spend time with her. I wanted to be with her. And I would go out of my way to do that. And I would still do that. If we were in the same situation, if I lived in Portland and she lived in Shiloh, I would still do that.
There you go.
Because I care that much about her. Sometimes, church, we let the least little thing separate us from God. That drawing is always there. He always, church, He longs to spend time with us. He longs to be with us. And He's always trying to draw us closer and closer and closer. But we find reasons to separate ourselves from Him. We find reasons to alienate ourselves from Him. We find reasons not to spend time with Him. Amen. Amen. We truly do. Turn with me if you would. I'm going to start in Luke chapter 19. And this is very familiar scripture. And if it's any consolation to you how the Lord's working tonight, this was actually going to be scripture number 5 tonight. But he's changing things up on me, and that's good. I'm glad when he does that, even though it makes me a nervous wreck. And you're all going to have to bear with me tonight because my eyes are bothering me, and I'm having a hard time reading. Things are kind of jumbling up together, but we'll get through this with the help of the Lord. So in chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, very familiar scripture about Zacchaeus. It says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." You may be seated. So we see here, Zacchaeus, there was a drawing. There was an attraction. There was something. He knew that there was something about this man, Jesus. He knew that he wanted to see him. He wanted to understand. He wanted to spend time with him. He wanted to see what it was that had him so stricken, that had him so had that attraction so strong in him that he was drawn to this man. Now he could have went there and been like a lot of us or a lot of other people, and he could have went there and saw and said, "Oh, it's just too crowded. There's just no hope. There's no use. There's no sense in me trying. There's no sense in me standing around here. I know I'm not going to get to see him because I'm just too small. I'm not going to be able to see him through this big crowd." He could have done that, church. He had that opportunity. He could have said, "Just forget it. I'm going back home." But there was something, church, that was drawing him. There was an attraction. And he said, "I must see this man. I must experience this." So he started thinking, "How can I do it?" See, instead of finding reasons not to, he's looking for a reason to do. Amen? And that's what we need to do. We need to have an attraction to Christ that makes us look for a way to make it happen. Amen? So he goes and he sees there's a tree and he says, "I'll run up to that tree." So he runs to the tree, and he climbs the tree. Amen? Yeah. Kind of like Pastor. I like climbing trees. As some of y'all found that out over at Daly's, over cutting the trees at the property. I like climbing trees. Takes me back to my childhood. I'm not as quick as I used to be at it. And a little shaky once I get up there. Zacchaeus was probably the same way. He probably thought after he got up there, sure, he probably thought, "What am I doing in this tree?" But he wanted to see him. He had a longing to see him. There was something that was drawing him. There was something more powerful than his carnal flesh. Amen. That was drawing him that day. And he said, "I'm going to get up in this tree because I'm going to see this man. I want to know about this man. I want to find out about this man. What is so important about this man?" And ain't he glad he did? Can you go back to the day that you got saved? You might not have had to climb up in a sycamore tree, but you had to do something to get saved that day. You had to make an effort. You had to step out on faith, amen, and believe that He was the Son of God and that He was willing to save you and that He died on the cross for your sins. Can I get an amen? You had to believe, I had to get saved, amen? the Bible also says something else had to take place for you to get saved. You had to be drawn. Amen? You can't do it of yourself. It can't happen on your timing when you want it to happen, when you desire it to happen. You have to be drawn. Amen? Spiritual attraction. Drawing you. So Jackie climbed the tree. Zacchaeus climbed the tree. He got up in the tree. He saw Jesus, and Jesus saw him. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, what are you doing in the tree? Come down from there. I'm on my way to your house. I'm coming to spend time with you. You don't have to climb the tree to look for me. I'm coming after you. I'm seeking for you. Come on down from there. He comes down from there and he goes and he says, Lord, what can I do? Now see, Zacchaeus was just the opposite of the rich young ruler, wasn't he? He didn't ask Christ what I need to do. I've done all your commandments. What else can I do? He already said, I know what I need to do. Because that spiritual attraction, that drawing power that you have has already instilled in me what I need to do. And I want to do that, not because I have to, not because you're going to force me to, but because I want to sell half of my goods and give to the poor. I want to make right all the wrongs that I've done. Because there's something about you that makes me want to do good. That makes me want to do right. There's just a powerful drawing that you have. A spiritual attraction. Man, ain't that good tonight? I'm getting goosebumps tonight just thinking about it. And Christ saved him. Allowed him to be a part of him. Showed him love. Showed him compassion. Showed him care. Ain't that what he does for all of us? He draws us in. And then he's just loving to us and kind to us. Caring and supportive, uplifting and encouraging, trying to help us to do more, to do better, to do good, not just for others but for ourselves. How many of you can honestly say tonight, when you've done good for somebody else, it made you feel bad? It makes you feel good, doesn't it? And that's what he does. That spiritual attraction, it makes you want to do good. Makes you want to do for others. It makes you want to care for others. In Jeremiah 31, one through three, so at the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord have appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. His love for us never ceases, church. He says, therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And isn't that what he does? He draws us with his love. His care for us, his concern for us, his meekness. He draws us in. There's an attraction. I mean, let's be honest tonight, church. We're not going to be attracted to somebody who... Well, maybe we will. We shouldn't be attracted to people who do us wrong. We shouldn't be attracted to people who continually hurt us. Amen? But do we not see that? Do we not see people who will leave somebody who seemingly treats them good, treats them like gold, and go and find somebody else that treats them like dirt. Have any of us ever seen that? Because I have. Amen? In the physical sense. And I've also seen it in the spiritual sense. And what I'm saying to that is, I've seen people who have had and experienced the blessings of God, have experienced the drawing of God, have experienced that spiritual attraction, but have turned their back on God to go back and serve the devil. Somebody who doesn't care about them at all. Who does everything within his power to destroy them. And I got to be honest with you. It's easy to stand outside of that situation and say, I don't understand. I can't comprehend how they can do that. But can I tell you something tonight, church? There's nobody under the sound of my voice that is above sin. Every one of us is subject to it. Every one of us is subject to failing. Every one of us is subject to falling. But we need to remember, understand, realize, and nurture that spiritual attraction. The thing that drew us in the first place. Cultivate that so that it will grow and grow and grow. So that thing will overpower the other. Amen. It's strong enough to do that. Right? It's strong enough. But see, the thing is that loving kindness of God, that drawing influence will not force you to do anything. You have to want. Alright? And as I said earlier, if you don't spend time cultivating that, if you don't spend time growing that drawing, that spiritual attraction, if you don't spend time with God, you'll start to lose that. And the more you lose it, the weaker you get in that area, the more vulnerable you become to that one who can come along and say, I'll do more for you. Just come over to my side. Join me. Amen. Hosea, the 11th chapter. It's after Daniel. Eleventh chapter, verses 1-4. We're still on the love part of it. It says, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Balaam and burned incense to graven images. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke of their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. I can't speak for anybody else here tonight. But the day that I met Jesus, I was in bondage. I was in bondage to an enemy that I couldn't break free from. Church, I tried my best to break free from the bondage that I was in. I tried everything under my own power to break free from that bondage. But it took something more. It took a drawing. It took a spiritual attraction. Something greater than I, something stronger than I, something more powerful than I, to overcome me, to overtake me, to free me from that bondage. He purchased me on that day. Now, He paid the price 2,000 years before that day. But on that day, He made the purchase. And He set me free. And from that day, He started feeding me meat. He started giving me things. He started nurturing me. He started feeding me and helping me to grow. Now, I don't mean food. I don't mean He's throwing steaks out of heaven at me. But a lot of this is steak, amen? And a lot of it's potatoes. Man, I like steak and potatoes. And some of it's milk, amen? And there's a lot of things in there, and it goes from every spectrum, right? And it's good. It's all good. Amen? If I go to a smorgasbord or a buffet, some of y'all don't know what a smorgasbord is probably, but if I go to a buffet and they got all these different foods out there, how many of you think that I'm going to eat everything on that buffet? Raise your hand if you think I'll eat everything on that buffet. You're wrong. Because most buffets have chicken. Right? Most buffets have a lot of stuff I ain't eating. Right? Now, how many of you believe I'm going to get my money's worth on that buffet? You can raise your hand now, sis, because you'd be right. I guarantee you I'm going to get my money's worth out of them. Now, Terry preached on me this morning, because I'm going to eat till it hurts. Amen? And I got to tell you, church, there's things in here that I don't particularly like to eat, but I ain't found nothing in here that wasn't good for me. There you go. Amen? Oh, it's hard to swallow sometimes. Amen. It's bitter every once in a while. It's tough to get down. It's like eating chicken. Amen. It's hard for me to swallow it. Now, Debbie told y'all a story a couple of weeks ago and told y'all I ate a piece of chicken. She made it seem like I ate a big old piece of chicken or something. It ain't what happened. And she's right, I ate chicken. I'm standing there barbecuing on the grill, and I'm thinking, what's the fuss? Everybody's always fussing about how I don't eat chicken, making a big deal out of it. What's the big fuss about it? What is it? What's so good about this chicken? So I tried just a little piece of it, and it was nasty. Just as I thought that it was. And I didn't feel good the rest of the night, nor the day after. And sometimes, church, I can read the smallest scripture in the Bible. And if I ain't where I'm supposed to be, just that smallest scripture, church, can taste bitter to me. And can make me feel bad until I do something about it. Amen? Now, my recipe for not feeling bad about eating chicken is I don't eat chicken no more. But I can't quit eating this word, because if I do, I'll shrivel up and die. Now, I don't mean physically, but I mean spiritually. I will die. See, we can't quit eating it just because it's a little bitter to us, or because it's a little hard on us, or because it's getting down to where we're living at. That's when we need it the most. Amen? So that we can keep that spiritual attraction alive. That drawing influence. Keep that growing. Keep nurturing that. Keep strengthening that. He doesn't do it out of His hatred towards us. He does it. What did I tell you? What did I read here? It's because of His love for us. Amen. Let me read it to you again. In verses, I believe it's in verse 4, it says, I draw them with the cords of a man with bands of love. His love is what draws us. And in Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, it said, "And with loving kindness I draw them." It doesn't do His heart good to have to reprimand us or to have to chastise us or to lead us to a verse of Scripture that's hard for us to swallow, or to have a preacher stand up and browbeat us. Amen. That doesn't bring Him pleasure. But He does it because He loves us. He loves us. And He draws us with that love. That love is what brings the spiritual attraction. John 6. Forty-three through fifty-one. Jesus therefore answering and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. Been a lot of murmuring tonight, ain't there? And he said the same thing in the first scriptures that I read over in Luke 19. He said there was people murmuring saying, he's going to eat with sinners. There was a lot of murmurs in the Bible, wasn't there? Yep. See, spiritual attraction doesn't allow you to be a murmurer. It overrides that murmuring spirit, that whining, that pitiful spirit. It says, no man can come to see me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Amen? Just what I talked about a while ago. See, I'm backing it up with Scripture. And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that have heard and have learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man have seen the Father, save he which is of God, he has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me have everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. He gave His flesh, church. That's how much of an attraction He had for us. That's how much He desired to be with us and to have us be with Him. So much that He gave His own life. He gave His body to be our bread, our spiritual bread, to feed us, to fill us, to sustain us. How many of you realize without Christ in your life, you could not sustain your spirituality? You couldn't do it. If you could, He wouldn't have had to come. Amen. If we could do it of ourselves, He would not have had to come. He didn't come just to come. He came for a reason. He came for a purpose. And that reason and that purpose was no one else could do it. He was the very best that heaven and earth had to offer. And He came freely and sacrificed Himself for us. Now, that's contradictory to what a lot of people say and what a lot of people believe. A lot of people don't like to accept the fact that Christ gave Himself freely. Some people want to accept the fact that somebody forcibly put Him on that cross, forcibly nailed Him. But I tell you, He did it freely. Because the Bible tells me that He had an opportunity at any time to call, what was it, 10 legions of angels to come and free Him? All right. So He did it freely. Nobody forcibly made Him do it. Nobody forced Him onto that cross. The nails didn't hold Him to the cross. It was His love for us. It was His care for us. His desire to spend time with us and to be with us. His attraction to us. But you can't just get it of yourself. Again, you have to be drawn by Him. The Father has to draw you. In Mark 1, verses 35 through 39. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. Talking about Jesus there. I saw a sign on a church out in front of a church one time. It was around Christmas time this past year. And I've seen the sign before. And you know, sometimes things hit you and sometimes they don't. But this particular time, obviously we were going through a great deal. Right around Christmas time, this church was going through a great deal. And I saw this sign that said, and I can remember church thinking, what are we going to do? I was so concerned, so worried about how the church was going to come through this thing. I was very concerned, very worried that we were going to start losing people. And I was thinking, God, what are we going to do? I'm really worried about this. And I remember looking over and seeing this sign, and it said, Wise men still seek him. And where people have a heart to seek him, he will be found.
Yes.
Amen. And this church has shown that time after time after time, that you have a heart to seek him. That it's not all about what you want or what you desire to do, but it's what he wants and what he desires to do. And church, that's a spiritual attraction. When you are attracted to somebody, you override your wants and your desires with their wants and their desires. Amen? What they need, their needs are more important to you than your needs. Isn't that the truth? When we're in a place, and I believe this church is, when people are in a place and they have one goal, and that goal is to please God and to make Him happy, then you have a spiritual attraction for Him. You have a desire and a longing to see His will come forth in your life, in the church's life, and in the world. Is that not what we desire? I mean, we're not just sitting in the confines of this wall, these walls, and saying, okay, everybody here is important, but nobody out there is. That's not our philosophy. That's not our outlook. Amen? That's not our mission. Our mission is to see souls saved. Our mission is to see Him lifted up. That's an attraction. Amen? Because we put what He desires above what we desire. That's good. I'm not whipping you right now, church. I'm edifying you. I'm telling you that what you're doing is the right thing to do. Continue to do it. Continue to grow. Continue to nurture this. Continue to cultivate this so that it will grow in you. And that it will grow in the people around you. See, for a long time, I had quit hunting. I stopped doing it. I didn't have a desire to do it. And then I met up with Terry, and because of his desire, and I started running around with Terry some, and because of his desire to hunt, I started having that desire again, that hunger again. You say, what's that got to do with anything? What I'm saying is when you have a desire, and people are in contact with you, and people are influenced by you, that desire that you have will transpose to them, I don't know if that's the right word to use in that situation or not, but it's the word I'm going to use. But you see what I'm saying here tonight. When you're around people that have a certain desire, you start having that desire. Amen. And the contrary is the same. If you're not careful, church, and you spend a lot of time around lost people and people who don't live the same way you live and do the same things you do, if you're not careful, you'll get drawn into their things. Right? It's just the way that it's the way that we're made up. So we got to be careful. But we got to still show. Amen? They got to see something. So we got to continue to do that. Continue to work and to do the things that Christ wants us to do. One more verse of Scripture in John 6, 24 through 27. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me have everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and have given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." I'm not even in the right scripture, but that's good scripture. I'm going to keep on reading there for a second, then I'm going to read what I'm supposed to be reading. "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice." Now, let's go over to chapter 6, verses 24 through 27. It says, "When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus." Again, seeking. "And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." Now that kind of goes along with what I was reading a minute ago, don't it? See, they weren't impressed by the miracles. They weren't impressed by the spiritual things. It wasn't the spiritual things that drew them to Him. It was the fact that He was able to physically feed them. Amen? But that's not what He's looking for. Now, how many of you realize and understand tonight that we eat because He has allowed us to eat? He has given you the ability to do whatever job it is that you do. He has provided for you. He provides meat for you, food for you, physically. Now, if the only reason that we seek Him, the only reason we desire to be with Him, is for Him to provide us with physical things, we're in the wrong frame of mind. But when you seek Him because of the spiritual aspects, because of what He is able to provide for you spiritually, then you're seeking Him for the right thing. Amen. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, for that meat which endureth for everlasting life." See, the physical meat, the things that we eat physically, they won't hold us over long. I can tell you, I ate a pretty good sized steak. and a big baked potato, and a nice size salad, and some chips and queso today, and a whole bunch of double dippers. And I'm still hungry. Because those things don't last very long. They don't stay with you very long. Amen? Am I right? I'm right. I'm telling you I'm right because I'm hungry. I know I'm right. Y'all might know I'm right, might not know that I'm right, but I'm right because I'm hungry. Those things don't stay with you long. And by all rights, you can ask Debbie by looking at all the food I ate. There's no reason why I should be hungry right now, but I'm hungry. And we're probably going to stop and get something to eat on the way home. But the spiritual food will last you how long? It says, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. It's going to last us forever. The food, the nourishment that we get from these scriptures, from the Word of God, it's going to last us forever. Everlasting. That's good news. But if we don't eat it, it doesn't help us. Amen? I mean, if they slid that steak in front of me and that baked potato in front of me and I didn't eat it, I'd have nobody else to blame but myself, would I? Right? If the food is there for you and you don't eat it, whose fault is it? It's my fault. Right? So cultivate that spiritual attraction. Grow that spiritual attraction. Nurture that spiritual attraction. Because you want it to last. Everlasting. Amen. You want it to be with you forever. Because the Bible says, to them that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. We haven't escaped anything yet, church. We got to endure to the end. And you can't do it on steak and potatoes. It's going to take the Word of God. It's going to take an attraction, a spiritual attraction, to get us through this thing so that we can be saved at the end. That's your evening message. May God bless you and keep you as our prayer.